Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Night Swim. Night Swim is a 2024 American supernatural horror film written and directed by Bryce McGuire and based on the 2014 short film of the same name by McGuire and Rod Blackhurst. It follows former baseball player Ray Waller, who, after being forced into early retirement by a degenerative illness, moves into a new house with his wife and two children, where he hopes that the backyard swimming pool will provide useful physical therapy. However, a dark secret from the home's past soon unleashes a malevolent force that drags the family into the depths of inescapable terror.
Can I just throw something to you?
Yeah, go on.
That's a great synopsis.
Okay.
Can I read you the official IMDb synopsis for this film?
You definitely
He's
can.
Never going to say, you cannot throw something at me at the start of the episode.
I'm pretty much like, we've got half an hour to fill it, do whatever you want.
But I want to be polite. I'm not just going to throw something when you're not ready.
Okay,
fair. I'm giving you a warning. Okay, so this is what this movie is about, apparently. A woman swimming in her pool at night is terrorized by an evil spirit. That's not the movie.
That's not the movie.
That's barely the movie.
Is that the synopsis for the short film Damo mentioned?
No, this is for Night Swim 2023. 2024.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, horror thriller with Wyatt Russell. Kerry Condon.
Oh. Kerry Condon's fantastic.
She's on fire in this thing, man.
Huge fan. We were sort of wondering during it, geez, she looks very familiar.
Yeah.
And is an elite actor. And then, yeah, it's Kerry Condon from the Banshees.
Well, I leaned over to you afterwards and said, oh, I got big Becky Ferguson vibes.
That's what I said to Tom. I leaned over to Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally said the same thing.
Yeah,
she came Beck on Ferguson vibe.
She came on screen and I turned to Amanda and I was like, Who's that? She looks really familiar. She's like, yeah, she's an English actress, I think, or someone like that. I'm like, yeah. Then I turned to Sean and I'm like, Sean, do you know? You're like, it looks like Rebecca Ferguson. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then we're sitting there for a bit and I'm like, I think she's Irish. And you were like, she's from Banshees. And I was like, Irish?
Yeah.
Yes.
Unlocked.
Yes.
Yeah,
She looks really Irish.
Right.
And occasionally when she would say Ray, who is Wyatt Russell's character,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh, there's the Irish, because you can imagine her saying Ray with an Irish accent.
Can you give us an Irish Ray?
It's like that Ray. You that can't
Ray.
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 Ray, what are you doing in the pool? Get out of the pool.
Get out of the feckin' pool.
Don't feckin' swim in there. There's a malevolent entity in the chlorine. It is certainly not what that synopsis is.
No,
though.
No. What it is surprisingly mostly good.
It is 75% a home run.
I would go 70. I would drop to 70, but you go 75.
I'm going 75.
All right.
Most of that movie is a home run.
Yeah.
70% of it.
And there's a
base. I mean, I went in thinking 50% at best, and I was there for that. I was ready to just enjoy.
Damo leaned over and said, this is going to be just a fun 3-star time.
Yep.
And it probably was that, to be honest.
I would go 3.5.
I might go 3.5. Yeah.
I'll go 3.5. Yeah.
I think it's. It's probably 3.5 because I think the issue it has is we went in, boys, thinking it would be fun, silly, but overall not amazing.
Did we? Because I went in thinking nothing.
Like, I don't know what this is.
Because I messaged you guys and said, this is, I think for the first time for this show, definitely, I knew absolutely nothing about it. You just said, hey, we're seeing a movie called Night Swim. And I went, all right, cool.
Which, by the way, terrible title.
Yeah.
It's like, one, it's not restricted to the night at all. So
no, as soon as bad stuff was happening during the day, I was
no
like,
sense.
What a lie. Cinema is a lie.
Like, literally, like, The Deep End would be a better name for this thing.
I think they came up with that name early and went, oh, that's fucking cool.
That's got some juice. Kind of not.
It's no, it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing, boys.
I didn't know anything about it. Didn't know the director. Didn't know who was in it.
Mm, yep.
First scene played out and I was not on board. I was not really impressed by that scene. And then Wyatt Russell popped up on screen and I went, I think I have sat forward in my
seat. You did. You verbally said, I'm on board.
As soon as I saw his face, I didn't realize he was in it either, because I think from the trailer, the only thing the trailer shows you is Carrie Condon, and I didn't realize it was her. But the focus of the trailer is a couple of scenes of the kids in the pool, like the Marco Polo scene.
Yeah, sure. They make it seem like a bit of a Scream sort of thing is what I was thinking. Oh, teens.
It might be a teen slasher sort of movie.
This is what I thought. And instead they're like, no, this is a haunted pool.
Yeah.
And what we're going to give you is a family that you give a shit about. And some really interesting, like, tension complexities in the family. You know, you've got the husband who has MS, which is, like, full on. And also then the dealing with the fact he can't be a baseballer anymore. Mm. And it's hard for his wife to also reckon. Like,
And the kids that they've moved to different schools and houses every time he gets traded from a different team. And,
And none of the characters felt cliche, or we've seen this before. Like, all of them felt like real people. Like, the teen wasn't, like, just a prick for no reason. Yep. Like, you know, there was a moment where, just to quickly deviate, but there's a moment where the daughter says to the mum, the mum says to her, can you be nice to your brother? He's going through a hard time.
It's been hard for him. And she says, it's just been hard for you too.
The cat. And then, and she says, it's been hard for you too. And she shows consideration for her mum.
Yep.
I'm like, great. You are immediately better than every other fucking teen character we've seen in these sorts of movies.
You would normally have, the pissy teen who just wants to hang out with the boyfriend and hates the family and all this. And,
we've seen that movie. Yeah. It's called The Purge.
Oh man. So I saw Wyatt Russell and I was like, great, I think I'm in safe hands here, because I like this guy. I like his vibe. And Tom, I was telling Damo what I learned about him recently. Obviously his parents are quite famous actors.
Just a little bit,
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. And
we should watch Overboard.
He doesn't himself have an acting background. He was an athlete and he was a professional ice hockey player in Germany.
Wow.
For several years, up until the point where, and this mirrored his own father, because I think his dad used to play baseball.
Oh, Kurt
Russell, Kurt until he got injured, and then
That's
plan B.
Kind of freaky. Okay, I didn't know that.
So, Wyatt Russell, apparently really quite talented, like a championship-winning ice hockey player in Germany.
Right.
He wrecked his knee or got like a hip injury or something like that, and hockey was over for him. And that's when he was kind of like, I'll give this acting thing a
go. Guess I'll go into the family business.
So he wasn't like a kid who'd done, like, he'd been in some of his dad's movies as a child actor, but he never had, like, you know, acting classes or been in the theater scene or done any of that build up. He was just kind of like, all right, my sporting career's over. I'll give this acting thing a go and see if I'm good at it. And he was.
He's the A-list equivalent of the jock auditioning for the high school play.
Yes.
That's great.
Tom, a movie I've told you to watch for years and you still haven't, breaking my heart, Goon 2.
Is he in Goon 2?
He's in Goon 2 as a asshole ice hockey player.
Because he knows how to play ice hockey.
Because he knows how to skate too.
Fuck.
Yeah. A fantastic movie is Goon 2. Just everyone should check that one out. So you wouldn't think it would be good. You wouldn't think
Should you watch Goon then Goon 2?
Yeah. You should just watch Goon. Goon's a great fantastic movie. Yeah.
I like the second one better.
Wow.
And it's
But you
directed...
still watch the first one first.
Yes, you should. Okay. Yeah, for to get the complete story, I guess. Goon 2 is written and directed by Jay Baruchel.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, when you read it,
right,
with all respect to the man, you're going to think it couldn't possibly be a good film.
I
loved it.
The first Goon is so good.
It's really good, I've seen it described as like Heat, Pacino and De Niro.
Yeah.
Heat, but ice hockey.
Oh, and okay.
So you haven't seen the first one?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber's in it. He's like the enforcer who just fights everybody in the league.
And he's
an aging warrior. He's on the edge of retirement. And Sean William Scott plays Doug Blatt, who is a nightclub bouncer.
Right.
And he just happens to be really good at beating people up and taking hits. And so he gets recruited to this hockey team.
Amazing.
And he literally sits on the bench until they need a bit of a spark.
Yeah.
And then the coach throws him out there and he punches on with people.
Because he's not a great ice skater to start with.
No, he's a shit skater. He can just take a punch like no one else.
Yeah, okay.
And then he and Liev Schreiber's characters are on a collision course because everyone in the league is thirsty to see these two fight.
The two fighters had going.
Their team's like lifting. And the whole thing too is that Liev Schreiber's character in the team that Doug now plays for beat the shit out of their best player.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
Was it LaFlemme?
LaFlemme.
LaFlemme, the French guy. And he hates Doug Blatt, but then they become friends.
It's honestly beautiful. And the reason why I think the heat comparisons come in is because there's like a diner scene between the two.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, they have like a moment at some point in the movie where they meet and kind of have like, you know, a discussion.
I love that. Like, why not take the best moment from Heat and put it in your movie?
It literally ends with like him being like, well, you know, it's great to meet you. I think you're fantastic. When I see you out on the ice, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah,
it's literally...
For like an antagonist villain role in a film of that type,
yeah,
he's brilliant. Like, it's a really sort of like introspective sort of role.
Is he in Goon 2?
Yep.
Fuck.
Yep.
He absolutely is. Might have watched Goon 2 tonight.
Okay. Yep.
And to be honest, Goon 2 has shades of Rocky 3.
Ooh.
Where Rocky and his rival Apollo Creed sort of like teaming up in the gym to help defeat a stronger opponent.
Wow. Yeah, big Ivan Drago.
White Russell.
Fuck.
Shit.
It's really good.
Oh. Okay.
So White Russell in this, I liked, again, this at the start of this film, like I said, we said, going in, expecting 3-star time at best. And then even from the first act, I'm like, that's a 4-star first act.
For me. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Some of the shots too are fucking
Some
juicy.
Of the shots are merely interesting.
Yeah.
The character, like all that exposition you have to get across in your first act was done very well for this sort of class of horror movie, let's say. And I gave a shit about the characters. You've got good actors in these roles who are delivering what they need to be delivering. And then for his character, it kind of really did harken back to the clear line delineation is Amityville. But even that, just like we've watched last year, we were lucky enough to watch a few classics from the 80s and 70s. And that sort of everyman dad that we've talked about. And I was watching it. He's in his plaid shirt. And I'm like, you are nailing this. You are that guy.
Yeah.
And him and his wife just had this beautiful, genuine relationship, it felt like. Yeah, you know, nice. Very lived in. Yeah.
Did Kerry Condon win the Oscar for Banshees?
She did not.
She did. She didn't?
No, she lost to Jamie Lee. She lost to Jamie Lee Curtis.
She should have won. But
yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis got the legacy win.
Well, I love though that she took the spotlight of that terrific performance and like this is a good movie, I think, to sort of cash in on where she's the lead. She's the lead character of the film. And she carries it. She is, for me, the best part of it. And
could not agree more.
For 70% of this, this is a really strong 4-star movie for me. And then it just, the wheels fall
it
off
hits,
a little
it
bit.
It hits a wall.
But it still ends in a nice way and, holds it together. This is a good film.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Generally, like, going into the last act, I'm like, this is either going to be... This could be a 4.5 if they absolutely... Like, if this does what Barbarian did so well, what No One Will Save You did so well, where it just surprises and it makes interesting choices...
It swings
big, man. Like, if it had done that, this could have been literally a 4.5 for me
because
I was enjoying it that much. Or if it just fell back on old tropes and is sort of the expectations, okay, we're going to drop to a 3.5 and that's obviously and ultimately what it did.
It didn't. It looked like it was going to do, because this is the thing, going into it, I knew the movie and I knew very little, because I'm like, I wonder what the crux of the cursed haunted pool is.
Right, yeah.
And I love the idea that, because initially I just thought from the trailer and from the vibe of it that someone's died in the pool and is haunting the pool, or there's like an evil monster in the pool.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's what we're going to get. No.
Mm.
The water is cursed. Like, pool is cursed.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I really do.
Because I do too. However, for the way they did it in this film, it comes way too late. So it's when she goes to visit the woman who previously lived there, whose daughter was lost.
And like, this is the biggest cliche.
I looked at my watch and went, I know there's only 20 minutes left.
Right.
And now we're getting an exposition dump about the mystical old water.
This has been happening for years.
And I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And it made me think of a book we've all read, The Fisherman by John Langdon.
Yeah, so you've got
to
say that.
So when we get to a certain point in that book and we travel back in time and we learn the history of this place.
We get a very long history.
A really long history, but a fantastic history.
Most of that book is that flashback. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy that it works.
But I love that. But that's kind of what I would have wanted with this.
That's really
Bring that in earlier. Yeah. I'm really fascinated by the idea that you've created, but you've dumped it on us for 20 minutes to go, to the point where in this film I would have just rather not have that.
I
don't actually need that backstory.
I agree. I was thinking about, like, so as we've talked about many times, love me some rules.
Yep.
And this sort of had rules in that, yes, this is like, of course we've got spoilers galore here, so if you generally don't want any more, click off now. But
I recommend checking it out too. Like, I know you said the end isn't great, but it surprised me how good it was.
Yes. I'd love people to see it. This is the kind of horror that I'd want to see more of in the cinema.
And I will watch what Brycey does next time.
Yep, it was original and it looked great. So, anyway, all that said, if you do want to go off and watch it, please do. Otherwise, I'm about to spoil some things. So, yeah, the idea of like this cursed spring, this wishing well that grants wishes, but also has its own, the well has wishes of its own, which is ultimately a singular death every time it grants a wish of some kind.
There's got to be a cost.
Yeah. Yes.
And you get...
You've got to give.
You got to...
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. But the cost thing's nice because they, when it comes, it's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. But if you actually like go back, they sprinkle it the whole way through the movie.
Mm.
The cost of being a pro baseball player, the cost of doing this, the cost of that, the constant thing where...
There's talk of sacrifice.
The doctor says, it's going to be a sacrifice, but you can make it work.
Yes.
It's going to be a sacrifice for both of you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I ultimately think that's good, but I think it's almost, again, and I love rules and I like a lot of what they're set up, but I think they either should have gone way more into the rules, as in, like, really, like, logic this out, or actually held back from the rules and just gone, it's a bit ambiguous.
It's an evil pool.
I feel exactly the same.
Because the singular death, I'm like, how does this pool, why does it want a death?
Yep.
Why does it have consciousness enough to go, I want one perfect death of a person? It killed a cat. What if I gave you 50 cats? Would that do you? Like, what? Like, either I want to know more rules or I actually wish they didn't have that as the stipulation.
When Wyatt Russell turns at the end and is like, someone's got to pay. Should he even really know that, though?
His character definitely should not know it.
Like, he shouldn't.
He's been
really
out of it.
Have that information.
He's been possessed by the pool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, he's been riding the chlorine bus.
Unless the pool's talking to him and been like, someone's got to pay for this.
If it ain't your boy, buddy, you better jump in.
I'm with you completely on that. Yeah. I think for the way they structured it in this film, I don't want them to actually go into it because it just drags things. However, I love it so much that I wish it had been there sort of from the outset and you could have almost told a sort of dual timeline storyline.
Yeah, or like either just this one, it's just freaky, we don't know. And then like even if Dad doesn't make the sacrifice play, but it ends up taking him in another twist of fate or the family go, maybe let's try to sacrifice. Like something interesting I thought would have soured our opinion towards the family, but if they collectively wanted to save their family, did a bit of the ring thing where they like throw a random person.
Sell the house to somebody else.
Yeah, right. Like that sort of thing. And then I think you could have like almost a, what's the Flanagan we did last year? Not Oculus. The other one, the sequel that wasn't a sequel was a prequel.
Ouija,
yes. Thank you.
Origin of Evil.
Yeah, have like an origin story that's a full film all of its own.
Yep.
Set in like the 1850s.
And it's like, it's not a pool. It is literally the spring that it started as. Yeah. Set in the 1850s.
Because you get that clip of the nuns and it's a wellness center.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. But again, we don't get anything. So again, like you said, Sean, it's come way too late. We can't dig into any of that, even though you've actually set up something kind of cool. And so, give us that fisherman thing of this own story that is going to fucking rock our socks, you know?
It's a frustration because the idea itself is really fucking cool.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I liked that a lot.
Honestly, I was okay with it being less detail. Like, I'm happy to lean into, this is just a pool that's hungry. Yeah. It's just going to, the water comes from the spring.
Yeah.
Spring
is fucked for some reason.
It's fucked. Yeah. It'll give you everything you want, but also it'll feed on you.
It's like, and especially because obviously there's like the idea of a spring granting wishes is a mythological thing that's existed in lots of different cultures, obviously wishing wells, but even like
it's the fountain of youth
thing. So I think the idea of like, well, this spring has been here since the earth was created and has been slowly granting wishes with some sort of cost or is just plain evil. Like, I don't, like, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
I love the idea, though, that it is giving, because there's that great line early on when Wyatt Russell's like, what about the house? And Kerry Condon plays it beautiful, where she sits down and she's like, you know, this is my dream.
Right.
But I need to know that this is your dream too.
How good and important is that moment?
I need you to know. I need to know that you're not doing baseball again. And then they choose the house and then the house gives him baseball back.
Yeah.
The house is like, hey, what if you're back and you're better than you were?
There's even a point where he says like, I know this sounds a bit crazy, but maybe the injury happened for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they're like, again, this is where that first act was really humming. Because you're right, Tom. He had made the sacrifice. He had found this joy. And then the pool does that like, but you still kind of want it, right?
And it's that great bit where the kid, and they kind of pepper it nicely. It gets a bit in your face in the back half. But even just that little sequence where the kid comes down and he's watching the video that his dad's recorded in the backyard and his dad's doing like exercises. And his dad's like, what's that for? He's like, it just helps me train.
Right.
But we've heard in the video, it's a video that he's going to send to teams.
Right.
That I'm back.
He's back.
I'm ready for a comeback.
Also, he's taped over family memories.
Right. Mm. Which is like, oh man, well, let's get into our question.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Were we scared?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Oh. I would say yes, but you go first, Sean.
I'm curious to know why.
To me, it wasn't effective enough as a horror film.
Okay.
I just didn't. Then from the outset in the first scene, I was like, it was a little bit eye roll territory for me rather than spooks.
Right, right.
And I, to be honest, I probably couldn't put a finger on why. It's...
Not even the Marco Polo sequence?
Yeah,
Marco
I thought that scene was actually brilliant.
Yeah, very scary.
No,
yeah. The change in the voice saying Polo.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I didn't find the pool stuff to be frightening.
Wow, see,
I think
okay.
It perhaps it's just the way that it was shot.
Yeah.
And I can definitely tell you why later in the film. It's because as soon as I got a look at these things, I was like, I think they look a bit silly. There's too many of them, which is interesting for a Blumhouse thing. And we know later why they did a lot of different ones, because it's different things
down there.
But they didn't settle on one iconic
thing. Right.
And Blumhouse, I know, is very big on having the, what are we going to dress as for Halloween?
Mm.
And you wouldn't be able to pull anything out from this film.
I know. I think the thing is, though, that the actual monster of the film is a pool.
Right.
You can't dress as the pool.
Yeah.
So I think, just make it the pool then.
Fair enough. But yeah, I just didn't find the pool stuff scary.
Mm.
So the saving grace of the film for me, the only thing that makes it work and makes me think, I actually like it. I think it's a good film.
Yeah.
Is the dynamics of the family and the emotional storyline there. Yeah. I thought that stuff was fantastic.
Mm.
In terms of scary though, this one didn't do it for me.
Yeah. I would say mostly no. So yeah, there was the start where I was like, it is interesting. We sort of talked in our year in review episode, our relationship with horror. And it is interesting now being so familiar with horror and what you're mostly in for, that the way I would get scared when we first started, where I was just petrified as soon as we pressed play. Like, let's be perfectly honest.
Yep.
As soon as anything happened on screen, I was like, oh my God. And like, no, it's just an introduction to a character. So that's gone. But with that is also, I know I'm safe for my first act. Like,
To a degree.
We have our teaser, but I'm like, but they're not going to show me anything yet.
Yeah.
Because we know the Jaws effect of withhold showing the monster. So we might get a few jump scares. We might get a death even. But I know that I personally am like, no, we're building to the big scare that's coming for you.
Yeah.
So that first act, I generally was like, I had that thought. I'm like, oh, damn. I wish I hadn't caught on to that, because now I'm too conscious of it. And then that middle act and that scene for the Marco Polo scene, I actually think that on its own, I don't know what their short film was, but I'm hoping it was something like that, because I actually thought that was really just like not surprising, I suppose. Oh, no, there was some surprising elements, actually, which is like when she's looking up and actually, no, the pool is, she's like at the bottom of the pool, but no, she's somewhere else entirely.
When she's swimming down, it's getting dark because the lights are going off. And then, yeah, that reverse shot and the tiny square of light.
Yeah, beautiful
stuff. Anytime they do, I love a movie that's like, yeah, this pool, this goes forever.
Yeah.
This pool goes for fucking ever.
The cinematography of the pool scenes is incredible.
The way they use a pool is insane. So there's a really great shot in the first act that I just want to quickly highlight, because I don't think there's even much being done in a VFX style or anything like that, where it's just the right angle. There's probably been like some lighting stuff going on, but basically it's shot from the deep end. It's actually looking sort of, it's almost as though we're standing on the side of the pool on the deep end, looking up into the shallow end.
Yep.
But it's in enough shadows that this pool looks longer and
looks
bigger.
Looks like it goes for ages.
And it's not the actual supernatural longer that we later get.
It's just shadows.
It's just shot fucking gorgeously.
Yeah. And they play with that space so well. It makes it so much scarier.
And it's just an ordinary pool.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like some grand luxurious pool where it's a bit fucked so you can do some interesting things with it. It is literally just a regular pool.
Yeah. And every time, you know, you see see an angle. You think, okay, I think they've done all the different angles now of the pool, and then they would do a new cool one. And it's like they've done a fantastic job.
It actually made me think of Glorious and the way they use the bathroom stall.
Yeah. Well, the restrictions of a space, like you've got to get creative in how you make it scary. Like even that first time that the mum goes, Carrie Connor goes swimming by herself. Like that's scared nothing.
That camera shot of her head coming up to breathe. Was a cool one.
And you know something's going to be there eventually. But then even what it is what it kind of looks a bit like Ray, and then she comes up and there's nothing. It
looks like Ray, but we're also getting that distortion through the water, which they use a couple of times throughout, and is so great. There's even a part where we see Kerry's face, and it's just like that globular sort of, and all of a sudden she looks like something from a Lovecraft story, like those fishy monsters, because one of her eyes has just gone in the wrong way, and it's just, it's really.
I've changed my mind. I was a little bit scared.
Okay, good. Good. I'm
particularly
glad
in the early sort of stages. Yeah.
Right.
You reminded me with her that scene where she's swimming and she looks up and she thinks she sees her husband and then he's not there. And, that is freaky.
And I thought that was really good too, because I was expecting that we will see something.
Yeah.
And the idea of it, like almost like a doppelganger, but not even. Like it's the stray thought of I could have sworn someone was there. Like, because we've all had that experience at some point. A swimming pool is the perfect place for it because your senses are literally distorted. And there is that sort of disconnect. It's like a glitch in the Matrix type thing. If you're like, I would have fucking put money there was someone standing there. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Like when she comes in and she's still, like she keeps, the thing that's terrifying is that bit where she just keeps looking out at the pool through the curtain and the camera like moves that little bit extra and you're expecting it'll show you something, but it doesn't show her anything.
Yeah.
Because it's just a pool.
Because she's already looking at the monster.
Yeah.
The pool is the fucking monster.
I think it is. And again, to get to it, the scary sequence, the Marco Polo sequence, that's the one I saw in the trailer when it started. Like, this is going to be scary as shit. And just even the fact that, like, you get that POV shot of her, like, peeking through her eyelids through the water because she doesn't want to look because that would break spoil the game. But she kind of wants to see, and we know that's not him.
That ain't him.
That ain't him at all.
Yeah.
It's too big. It's too weird. The voice has changed. And also, it's the one, again, I'm glad we saw it in the cinema because the polo is coming from the speaker behind. And then it's coming from the speaker over here. And it's like,
It actually had shades of Silence of the Lambs night vision when,
when
Clarice is reaching out into the dark and it's nearly touching it. She was like so close to this creature. It was
There's a point I swear she's like, her hand is almost on the camera. And I felt like, I wanted to back away a bit.
Yeah, now that, the other segments that is scary too is the coins being dropped deeper and deeper.
Great use of the coins. Because at first when they're throwing the coins, so like, I don't know, I'm guessing this is a universal thing, but here in Oz, did you guys ever have those sticks or the rings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the sticks and the rings. Yeah. When I saw them throwing the coins in, I was like, fuck, that's annoying.
That's weird.
Boys, I worked in a pool. You can throw anything. I used to, as an exercise for the kids, if they're like, for a fun thing at the end, to get them used to like swimming without goggles for water safety week. You just throw their goggles in, they swim down and get their goggles.
Oh, no, that's just coins is something in Australia I've not seen people do.
I've seen coins.
But it looked beautiful floating down.
It was cool.
I've also got a quick story. So I grew up with a swimming pool. I don't know if you boys know that, because the one time you've been to my parents' house, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It was cursed, so we had to bury it.
Yeah.
Natch.
The pool fence is still there, though.
The pool fence is still there, but there's it's just grass. Anyway, our pool, it was like, it was very nice having a pool as a kid, but we were out in a big country house. Whoever originally owned the house before us had planted so many trees and bushes and plants around this pool.
Leaves for days, mate.
I have never seen that pool crystal clean in my life. Like, I don't know that it ever has been. It's not quite a pool. It was more of like a pond or a swamp, you could even say.
Yeah, you can't be putting a pool that close to all that. There's like a, where that pool fence is, there's a big fuck off gum tree directly above it that is really
ridiculous.
Big and old.
Yeah. Oh, there was used to be more stuff around it that doesn't exist anymore. And so every year, this is a bit horrible, so apologies, but like one, it would be full of frogs. Like full of frogs.
Yeah.
And so dad would chlorine dump and unfortunately kill all the frogs.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we had to do as a family was a circular pool. So we would make this big whirlpool. You'd all be jogging around.
Like this is my childhood.
Right.
I don't know if I told you this. On the farm, we once had a pool.
What?
And
are you kidding?
There were trees all around it. So every day we'd have to get the leaves. And my cousins, like when it was hot, they'd come for a swim. So it'd be my siblings, my cousins jump in and we'd have to do the work. We'd call
do
it
the whirlpool. Yeah.
And then it'd all spin into the middle and you could scoop it up. Yeah.
So what we had was mum's old stockings and you'd stretch them over both hands and you would duck dive into the middle and scoop up this disgusting sludgy gunk
leaves.
And then go to the side and like squeeze it out and repeat. So we would, dad would work his ass off. I don't know why he didn't buy a pool cover because that's the solution. But that's not who my dad is.
Can I ask, did you eventually get rid of the pool because your dad got sick of the maintenance?
No, it was, we had this guy lived on our street. It's like, you've seen that street. They're big 6-acre blocks. But there's this old guy who used to be a cop and just stuck his nose into everybody's business. Someone's grass got slightly too high. Guess what? It's a fire danger. So even though it had that pool fence, you guys have seen the big pool fence around it. There was something about that pool fence that wasn't
up to code.
100%, and it was quite a big pool. So either way, the legislation sort of said that it got to a point where basically either dad had to do some quite intensive architecture around it, and because really we weren't using it anymore, he had literally converted it to a pond. It was a pond, and he really loved his pond. Like, it had these ibis that would come every day and all these other birds, and it had lots of frog life in there now, and he would just embrace it. He's like, I mean, like, you know, heading towards retirement, it's my pond. He really loved it. Nah, it's a danger. You need to get rid of it.
So this guy used to report people to the council.
Yeah.
What a fucking loser.
He just had way too much fucking time on his hands. Oh. So, like, regularly our paddocks, someone would come knock on me, you got to slash your paddocks. And he's like, was this whoever who said it? I can't say, but clearly it fucking was.
Yeah, what a loser.
Yeah. Anyway, go back to the rings and stuff. So, it was never crystal clear. We had the rings and the things, and you'd throw them in, and they're fluoro rings or fluoro sticks. And then halfway through, you can't see them. They're gone.
You'd have to walk around and feel them with your feet. Yeah,
there's no diving to find them. Because you're like, oh, there they are. Let me go for a swim. You're like, you are groping blindly through this sludgy mess.
Oh, man. See, I grew up in and around pools. We didn't own a pool.
Right.
We'd have to go to pools. I have friends with pools. But throwing sticks, throwing stuff. The one that was really good is we used to have these, this is where for my work, these like black blocks, like just a solid, a dense material. I don't even know what it was made of. And basically you just would throw that in the water. It would sink really quick. People would have to pick it up. That was a good one.
Was it heavy?
It was like a weighted, it was like a brick basically.
Right. So this was like a life-saving tool to sort of practice.
The idea behind teaching kids to dive down is to get them used to being deeper in water.
I see, yeah.
And the experience of doing that. And if they, you know, but we used to, you'd throw the goggles in to be like, get your goggles, guys. Because it was the funnest way because the swimming teacher, fuck.
It just sounds like you're bullying these kids.
Literally, so you'd have to wear, like, did you guys do this when you did swimming? And I used to do this as a teacher and I used to do this as a student, but you'd have to wear your clothes in the pool. Like, you'd have to bring clothes.
Yeah, we did that once. Take
them off in the water, practice about, like, how to get them off.
You're doing it in the water, right?
Yeah. The idea is it's like if you fall overboard, you take the clothing off
right. So
you can swim better.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the thing, get your shoes. And like the higher up you go, so it's like if you're level whatever, it's like shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
By the time you're in squad, we're just making people wear like socks and shoes.
Right. What's like the heaviest shoes you own?
It would be, what it would be is it would be pants, wear a pair of pants, a t-shirt and a jumper.
Uh-huh.
And I can still like, I still remember the way to like teach people how to take it off in the water. You do one sleeve first and then you pull it up and you pull it over your head. Coins, I've seen, there used to be a teacher who he would drop like 50 cent coins in the pool at the end of the year to be like, there you go, kids, get your 50 cent coins.
And they're harder to find, obviously, than the big fluoro fucking rings or whatever. Yeah.
I've definitely seen coins before. But that sequence with the coins was scary. Also, it's like...
And beautiful. Literally, the way the coins sort of flicked through the water was great.
And then lovely to pay it back again when she's trying to escape and she can't work out where she's going up. It's really confusing. And then the ghost of the girl opens her hand with the coin and it starts to float up and you realize they're upside down.
Oh, and that beautiful...
And she's just swimming deeper and that's why she can't get out. And she looks behind her and then she sees
that tiny little rectangle. Square line. Yeah, yeah. Which another great camera shot of the slow spinning of like... Just, that's so, like, again, the element obviously is water and they've used it so well for all those different things you experience only in a body of water.
Yeah.
And how, and like, the different ways that body of water can be terrifying.
And even, like, there's that great bit when, like, in that scene where she's diving for a long time. It's like, geez, how's she able to do that? And you remember early on in the film, she's like, yeah, my dad was in the Navy. Yes. He taught me how to swim before I could do anything
else.
Good. And it's like, you can deep dive. That's why, you know, you get the hose. You got a bit of extra air. You know, it's going
to
be deeper. Hosing
is brilliant. Let's get to our question. Because that one is definitely fits the bill. Did our character act wisely or foolishly?
Kerry makes some great choices.
Kerry's clever.
Yes.
The hose thing is the highlight of her moves. Like, that's just quality.
Highlight of her moves happens really early.
Is it when she says, let's leave?
No. It's when she just gets out of the pool. When the lights start flickering, she gets out.
She goes right to the edge.
I'm not fucking doing this.
She makes smart choices the whole way through. Yes. I like how quickly, it's probably halfway through the movie, maybe a little bit beyond that, when she's like, no, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Get in the fucking car. And they try to leave, but it doesn't let them.
Yeah.
It's already in.
Yeah, no, she's really great. The dad, so I want to talk about him for a minute because, like, the things I liked about this movie are that 70%. I thought the way they did him of showing us that he's, like, a little bit dangerous without ever going overt about it up until they went very overt. So, before that point, there is just, like you said, there's him with the filming of himself on the camera. There's a few moments where he just seems NQR, not quite right. Obviously, we know he's picked up the baseball, which kind of gives this bond with the pool.
Well, it's the thing of, like, I was just thinking, when he falls in the pool and he's drowning, the thing that he sees is him hitting a home run.
Right.
And the commentary says it's the comeback of the century.
Yeah.
So, because I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Is this a man? He's already come. And then by the end of the film, you're like, no, that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Even when he's like, let's settle roots there. Even though there's probably 90% of him that is like, no, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to be good for the kids. It'll be good for me. We're going to put down roots. I agree with my wife. That's what she wants. This is what I want too. Maybe that's the reason I got sick.
Yeah.
But there's 10% of him that wants to go back to baseball.
Yeah,
and the pool just gets the 10%.
Yeah.
And I
oh, it's probably more than 10%, but there's this reality of his illness where it's just like, well, I can't do it. So it's time to move on.
I think that's the great part is that he becomes dangerous because he's not 100% committed to that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a really nice angle to play because I imagine that's just a reality of professional athletes in relationships and having families. 100% of them can never be like, look at LeBron James. He loves his family, no doubt. He loves his kids. 100% of him can't be invested in the kids because there will always be 5% of it invested in LeBron James playing basketball. Like you don't become good at any sport without being a little bit fucking insane.
Without being selfish.
Especially for those big dog sports. You have to have something different and then you've got to be talented, but then you've also got to have that extra, like, you know, it's the Usain Bolt. I'm the fastest man in the world because I am the fastest man in the world. Yeah.
There's a warping of reality until it meets
and not
what you want it to be.
Yeah, and not all of them are like that. Like, you know, some of them have that down-to-earth edge, but the ones that are really good have that extra level of, like, you think about your Roger Federer's, like those tennis players. Their brains are wide fucked.
Yeah.
Because how else can they be?
I mean, you look at Roger Federer's career and it's like by the end of it, he was crying and thanking his wife for her sacrifice, for the fact that basically for 20 years, she followed him around everywhere. And like every aspect of their life is probably in service of him being the best tennis player.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what I think this movie does really well. Because on a surface level, like in a lesser film, I think he's just a dad who's a bit ill and he can't be the cool dad anymore. But I think in the better film, making him the baseball star or making him a professional athlete and then making, you know, adding a layer of complexity to his relationship. Even the beautiful thing they do where he tells that story to the daughter about, I felt a surge of love when you were born and I hit a home run.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a beautiful story. Daughter tells it because she's told it 1,000 times. And then Kerry Condon sits her down and is like, the story of that story, I was so alone because he wasn't there.
Yeah,
he was playing a game when she went into labor. And that's the reality. Like, how many sports stories do you hear where they're playing a game? Yeah. And that's just... We've had the conversation that if I go into labor and he's playing the game, we won't tell, you know.
Or even like him choosing to work out rather than go do the coins with his son.
Yeah.
Like it's in service of his career. And so literally you put your son in danger because you've let him wander off into the swimming pool by himself.
I don't recall the wife having a go at him after that scene.
The next scene is them in the kitchen and she's like, he said he saw something. And he's like, have you thought he's making it? And she's like... You could tell she's annoyed, but then he's so up and about. She's like, I can't go into this because he's been so miserable.
Which is a great little wrinkle of like, hey, this something's off with this pool, but dad's never been healthier and happier.
He's healthier and happier. And then he immediately is like, we should have, well, all right. Yeah. He's a bit lonely at school. What if we had everyone here for
pool party?
And she goes, you know what? That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, so she doesn't even get the chance to have that confrontation with him.
Yeah. At what point does the pool decide which person it's going to, which life?
Well, it clearly seems to be a bit, I'll take whoever I can get.
Because it just makes me think that, like, that's not even Wyatt Russell. That's not him saying, great idea, honey, let's have a party. That's the pool being like, bring me some food.
Yes. Basically. Yeah, I agree.
Like, the minute he falls in at the start and grabs that ball.
Right.
Then, like, they haven't even decided on this house yet.
Right.
For all we know, at that point, they're leaving and they're still looking. And only later when he says to his wife, hey, what about that one with the pool?
Yeah. Like,
that's pretty good. Yeah. It's already hooked in.
I agree. And this is why I found it so disappointing when the scene at the pool party where he's got the boy on his shoulders and we see it's gray and black and murky and it's coming up and he's breathed it in. And you're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
That is, again, that goes against all the good stuff they were doing.
Yeah.
Where, like, one, he's already possessed. So why are you, like, showing this visualization of it? It
doesn't black goo shit.
No. And, like, even when it was, like, leaking out of their face, one with the older woman who was telling the history of it, I'm like, that could literally just be mascara. She's got mascara on. So, like, and then for him when it did it, like, the black veins, the black water running from him. One, I just think we should have nothing, and he should actually present as genuinely very much like him. Because he starts, like, the scene where he's after his daughter in the third act was so cringy, because it's just like he's saying, like, oh, crazy, creepy things.
When he's playing Marco Polo.
Right. And you're like, you're meant to say Polo. And you're like, oh, this movie was avoiding those things. And all of a sudden, we're getting it. Meanwhile, we're getting it's intercut with this actually quite terrific scene with mum going to rescue her kid. So it just felt so out of place. And I just think the easy fix is to have him actually keep presenting as him, but he's
fitter and healthier.
But his priorities are warped. The things he thinks he needs to do or should do is wrong. And then if you have to have things leaking out of his face, it should be like just regular water, but slightly too blue the way pool water is.
Sure,
like,
yeah, and we do that.
To clearly show this is the pool doing what it needs to do.
But even like that bit where he inhales the smoke is so dumb, because he's already, like, when the kid gives him the baseball and he grabs him and he's like, let's go take on steroid Shrek.
Yes, yes.
That's him being like, let's get back in the pool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the danger's already present.
Like he's already
present. They don't need it. It's almost as if, like, at some point that's a studio note.
And that's what,
like,
I was wondering
the
too.
The audience is dumb as fuck. Yeah. Let's put some goo in his mouth.
100% that's what it feels like. People won't know.
People going, hey, hold on, this is a Blumhouse thing?
Yeah.
When are we going to get the kooky stuff, like, happening?
Whereas I just think he's possessed probably from the moment he falls in the pool and grabs the old baseball.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I agree.
And it's so believable, and his actions are believable to that.
And, like, even that great shot where she wakes up from the nightmare of drowning and she looks out, it's 3 a.m., which is a haunted
the
time.
The witching hour, yeah.
She looks out and he's swimming laps.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's enough. We don't need to see the goo. And even if you just had, like, that scene with the old woman where she just never talked about the daughter, she just keeps going back to the son, and then eventually, like, you just have her pouring fuckloads of water. Yeah. She realizes the fountain's there. She just goes, okay,
I need to go.
I need to leave.
Yeah.
And then she can be something like, it'll give you what you want as well. Like, just a throwaway line. You don't need the black goo.
That's
when I was like, oh, great. Black goo.
Yes.
Sick.
And again, like, it had been so, not even like, if it had just been more inventive, where again, I don't know that the front half was so inventive. It was just very well done. And like we said, the shots were, like, it generally made me go, oh yes, haunted pool, good idea. Like, and it was, and it kind of does, like, very Kingy vibes, I think. And I mean, in the highest compliment, because Stephen King, like, does just take a thing from a Buick 8. Oh, it's a car, but it's, like, possessed by...
Yeah, the normal thing, but weird.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and they did it in a way that's believable because they grounded it in their characters and they grounded it so heavily in that. And then what they didn't do was keep that level of character-driven stuff as well as inventiveness in how we're going to get this across. It went, okay, and here's your expectation. And again, I have to agree. I think I would be very interested to know if that is a studio note or some producer's gone, I need to have my stank on there.
I think definitely it would be.
Which is weird, though, having said that, because Jason Blum is famous for being like, go.
You do,
go psycho. So I don't know. Maybe
it was
maybe,
Universal as well, though.
Yeah, so maybe Universal came in and that's how they got there. Because, for me, Blumhouse feel like a studio that are like, look at fucking Malignant.
Yeah, I was creative focused, like, first, which is amazing.
You know, like, look at Megan. Like, they just like...
They can be a bit on the nose.
Like, yes.
There's not always a lot of subtlety in Blumhouse.
No, no.
So I think that's probably what's happened here.
Yeah.
It would have just been people watching a cut of the movie, of the edit, and been like... Let's just juice that up.
Let's
a bit
get, like, the dad's possessed, right? Let's really show that he's possessed. Boys,
yes.
How would we do in the situation?
I've got some bad news for both of you.
He loves to swim.
He loves to swim.
Swimming. It's the only form of exercise I enjoy.
Yes.
I love swimming.
I had
laps.
That thought. So we watched this together with Amanda, and I had that thought. I was thinking about how would we do it. I'm just like, that's Tom.
I'm possessed.
Tom's our swimming boy.
Yeah, I'm possessed.
Now, look at him. Tom's bloody perfect. He's got everything. He's already got his dreams. So what's the pool going to offer him?
But is this a situation where he has lost his dreams? Is he our Wyatt Russell?
True.
I don't know, boys. Possession doesn't work on me because I'm too satisfied with my life.
Yeah, how can we rattle Tom's cage here? chemical fire accident at work disfigures his perfect face and he's no longer in the handsome bubble.
Okay.
And the pool offers to give that back to him.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But he's, the alternative is, you know, if I'm content with my life and I'm just happy to keep swimming, then we're fine.
But you look like Harvey Dent.
Well, no, but hear me out. If we don't make me look like Harvey Dent, you don't die. Because I never get possessed because I don't have a wish. I'm just loving swimming.
Okay. So if you're...
So then which one of you two then lets me die in the pool because then you get what you want? Sean, how much would a Brisbane premiership cost?
I don't even want to talk about that, mate. That's what would it,
What would Boston winning a ring look like? Is that me drowning
like
in a pool?
Drowned Tom.
Can you help me write a speech for Tom's funeral, please, Dave?
Yeah, we'll get the eulogy
He's
going.
Gone.
Yeah, I also love the idea that we could easily justify this, like, look, Tom loves the pool.
Yeah.
We'll give him the pool.
He'll be happy there.
He'll have all the pool he can
be there
have.
Forever.
Yeah.
Does the thing become that I then like live in the pool as like a ghost monster?
Yeah. I mean, I get that's what it seems
Looks
to
Looks like they
Boys,
are.
I'm happy as.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a solution.
So I think one of us achieves our dreams, whatever they may be.
All I need for you every now and again is to occasionally laminate a book and drop it in the pool.
Find that like that space between the regular pool and the deep pool.
And just leave it there for me.
And drift it down.
Yeah.
Audio books, play it on
Do we
speaker?
Have to laminate every page? Page of the book, so
not all the time, just every now and again.
Okay, that's a bit of effort though.
Or
if we don't go near the pool, though, is there anything to stop him from getting revenge when we stop doing that because it's too much effort?
No, I think he's restricted to the pool,
yeah. So I just think
it's just how much
we don't have to. Sure, hey, we'll do the books for you, no problem. Wink.
So hang on, you kill me and then brick the pool up.
We could brick it up,
we could do that. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting out in the waterways and I'm fucking ruining your lives.
It's nice to have a pool though,
yeah,
but that pool's fucked.
I wouldn't,
although, what was the thing like? Is it an every 15 years thing?
No, that just says the water wakes up. Yeah, I think
how long does it take to wake
rules.
Up? I wish I knew the rules.
I think it's just whenever someone new gets in.
Oh, okay.
And it is like, you want to wish?
Well, so the three of us have moved in there. We jump in the pool. It decides, I want to fuck
Tommy
Tom
boy,
up.
Yeah.
He's got an affinity with the water and all of its creatures, one of them specifically. And then, so we've been in the water already. It's taken its life. We can stay swimming in that
we
pool.
We just get a nice pool now. Okay. Yeah. And Tom's there if we want to have a quick chat with Tom.
That's true. Yep. We can just swim over to the little, what do you fucking call it, the filter?
Yep. How you going?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks, Tom. See ya.
I'm pruning like nobody's business at this point.
I'm the pruniest boy in the world. Could you throw a HSP into the pool? Just feed me like a goldfish, but with HSP.
Yeah, sprinkle it.
One plastic fork at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like instead of the coins dropping, it's just bits of meat.
Well, that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you beautiful Scaredy listeners like our show and would like to help us out, you can. It's very easy. You can head over to patreon.com/Scaredy Boys. Become a patron for just $5 a month. You get access to a heavy helping of beef. Otherwise, you can leave us a review wherever you listen, as that truly helps us a lot. And we also read them all, and they make us feel quite nice. Or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram at Scaredy Boys Podcast, or on Twitter at Scaredy Boys. Or individually, you can find us on the socials. I'm at DamienRob.Rider or Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade, but I'm also in the pool.
Stay scared, everyone.
Ray.
Ray, what are you doing in the pool?